Good morning and welcome to Community Bible Church. We hope your hearts have already been blessed. What a great time of worship that we've already had. We really do pray that your fellowship with us this morning is something special to your life. If you're a visitor, we do this morning to John chapter 13 as we continue our series on discipleship. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 20. We look forward to the word being expounded by Zig today. Zig is here, right? Where are you, Zig? Okay. All right. Let's read here. Verse 1, chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, you are going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." May God bless the reading of his word. Let's just have our Heavenly Father, we come before you with this portion of scripture, and we ask that you would truly speak to us. We invite the ministry of your Holy Spirit upon Zig to minister to us, to speak through him and to him. I really especially pray that your spirit would speak to his spirit and give him the right words. That you would bring us, Father, before you with the right heart and attitude, and change us this morning by our presence here in worship of you and in fellowship in the word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we invite Zig to come and share with us once again.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Y'all doing well? Good. We were reading the scripture this morning. Fred reminded me that the Gospel of John was in the New Testament. I appreciated that, Fred. If you were in Adams yesterday, probably wondering what was going on. Anybody in Adams yesterday? You guys were. If you were in Adams yesterday and came up through the town, you probably saw dozens upon dozens of tag sales. I think there were 42 tag sales in Adams yesterday. We were one of them. And the amazing part of it is we had a wonderful day, a wonderful weather day. We had really a four-family tag sale, and we had prayed beforehand that God would not only give us good weather, but that he would also help out those who need the help the most out of those who are coming. And the amazing part of it is the man who we prayed for, who needed the money the most to get his telephone turned back on, made the most money. Does God answer prayer? Or does He answer prayer? Amen to that. Right. God is so good. Worship team, you guys are terrific. Thank you so much for blessing our hearts. Many times I come in, we just want to sit there and take it all in for the rest of the service. Bev and I are here this week. Next week is a free week for us. And then after that, we're on the road for a considerable amount of time. So we'll miss you. We miss the service of coming here. We miss the food that we get for our souls. You don't get that everywhere, but you get it here. Let me read this to you. One man in God. One man shall chase a thousand, Joshua 23:10 says. During a visit in Glasgow, Scotland, Mr. Moody, D.L. Moody, heard a minister preach about Shamgar, the Old Testament hero who single-handedly slew 600 Philistines using only an ox goad as a weapon. This preacher declared, "I can imagine that when he was plowing in the field, a man came running to him over and shouting, 'Shamgar, Shamgar, there's 600 Philistines coming toward you.' Shamgar quietly replied, 'I can take care of them. They are 400 short. For with God, one man shall chase a thousand.' So he took an ox goat and slew them all, routing them hip and thigh. Today it takes about 1,000 to chase one, because we do not realize that we are weak in ourselves and that our true strength is to be found only in God. Remember, believer, the arm of flesh will fail us, but as laborers together with God, we can be more than conquerors." That was taken from our Daily Bread, 8:169. Well, if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 13, we've been talking about discipleship. Today we're going to be talking about doormats. If I were to ask you this morning, would you like to be a doormat for the Lord Jesus Christ? I think many of us would say, not me. I'm not going to be a doormat for anyone. However, if we're going to be true disciples, if we're going to be true followers, if we're going to be those who are known as real Christians, God wants us to become doormats for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can prove it by His Word. And I brought this morning. If you come to our house, you're going to be required to use this lovely mat. It doesn't say welcome on it, but I'll tell you, it does the trick. Now, you can see you can see some of the stains that are already on there. We've used this over the years. We ask you to take your boots off, your shoes off, wipe your feet on this mat, and then we'll give you shoes, or we'll give you slippers, or we'll even give you a new pair of socks to wear when you come in the house. But that's what a doormat is. That's what we'll be talking about this morning. Jesus said in chapter 13, verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." We've probably heard 25 sermons on what it is to have a foot washing. I know some churches do a foot washing service during that time. Let's pray before we go on. Father, we thank you this morning. I feel a little disorganized, but that's okay. It's still your word. It still has power. The man speaking it is weak. The flesh is weak, but God is strong. I need your help this morning. We all need your help. We need to hear what you want us to hear and then go out and to do it for the Lord Jesus. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, for this word that remains true regardless of what men say. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Isn't that great? I look at that verse and I say, Jesus Christ has set the perfect example for each one of us. Perfect. You and I, we think we're perfect at times, but we aren't. Most of our work is done in the flesh, just as like I read to you earlier. But let me define doormat, and that's the title of the message this morning. Doormats. Or another title I had for it was Doormat Christianity 624, the advanced course. Not 101, not 200, not 300, not 400, 600. This is the advanced course in Christianity this morning. This is what Webster says about a doormat. A mat placed before or inside a doorway for wiping the shoes. And in slang, it means one who unprotestingly allows mistreatment by others. Think of anyone who allowed mistreatment by others unprotestingly. Yeah. Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely perfect, wasn't he? When men reviled him, did he revile back? No, he didn't. He took what he came to do. Doormat spirituality today. I took this quote from somewhere. I wish I knew who it was. One of the old saints from way back said this: one life totally devoted to God is of more value to him than 100 lives which have been simply awakened by his spirit. And I don't know what we have in here today. 150 people maybe. That means if we say one out of 100, that means one and a half of you, God has something really special planned for you. He's called you to a different kind of lifestyle that maybe even your friends are doing. Maybe even your own family members. He's called you into a deeper relationship in him to be a doormat for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 and 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it." Now listen what the message says. This is a more loose translation, but still, it's God's word. "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am." Someone said to me yesterday, "I heard God is your co-pilot." And I said, "He better be in a driver's seat or we're all in trouble." That's true, isn't it? He's not your co-pilot. He's the one who does the driving. He does the ordering. You follow. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you now. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. No guru power there. This is working toward doormat Christianity. One of the great privileges that Bev and I have, and some of you have as well, is communicating with missionaries, especially ones that have been out in the field for a long, long time. Anyone know who Carol Swain is? Carol Swain. Okay, Carol Swain works for Crossworld. They were formerly UFM. Now it's known as Crossworld. Carol has been down in the Amazon for well over 40 years now, translating God's word into the Nimnam language of the Mukajai people. If you were to see Carol, she's probably one of the most unassuming people you'd ever met. She probably stands about 4'11", kind of hunched over, no fancy makeup, no, you know, straight hair, nothing that looks impressive to the world. But her heart is so right with the things of the kingdom. And I can think of some of the things that she's been through down there in the Amazon, facing all kinds of hostility. She said one of the greatest problems that they have in translation is finding those who will stay long enough so she can even translate one book of the Bible. She said they'll come, they'll get helpers from the village, it'll come, and all of a sudden they won't show up for a couple of days and say, well, what happened to Raul or whatever his name might be? Well, he's gone out in the jungle, but he promised he was going to be here with me. And then she'll have translators that'll come in and help her, and they'll get drunk, and you won't see them for weeks at a time. And others who just give up. She said one time this guy was talking to her in the Ninam language, and all of a sudden he got up and ran away. He said, where are you going? I need your help. He ran away and he didn't show up for a couple weeks. But imagine facing that day after day after day for over 40 years. That's being a doormat for the Lord Jesus Christ. She's still there. She talks about retiring, but you and I both know retirement for the Christian is non-existent. That shouldn't even mention retirement to a believer. No such thing. She's going to come back. She's going to be working for the Lord somewhere. That's Carol Swain. You know people like that. There are people in this fellowship right here I know that are doing things behind the scenes. You do your work in secret. But I'll tell you, it doesn't stay a secret. We hear about these things. Bev and I can be on a road down county somewhere and we hear about things that are going on here. How you help people. How you do the things that you're supposed to do as a believer. You're working toward doormat Christianity. It's not always glamorous, but it has its rewards. It's not only doing your duty, it's going way beyond doing your duty. And some of you bloom so beautifully in the shade. Man, I'll tell you, nobody sees what you're doing. But the work gets done, and it gets done the right way. You're an encouragement to us. Keep it up. I'm trying to learn these things, but I can tell you it's so difficult. None of us likes to be used. I see Jesus Christ as my perfect example, and I fall so far short. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor for your sakes, that you and I might become rich. You know, and we forget that you and I in Christ are spiritual billionaires. We're not millionaires. We're trillionaires, even beyond billionaires. We have a spiritual heritage that no one can take from us. Say, well, what can I do? Well, are you available for the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all? You want to be used by Him. I can tell you, if you want to be used by Him, it won't be long before He will use you. Bev and I pray every Monday morning, Lord, this is a new week. We have our separate devotional time, but we have our time together as well. And we're praying, Lord, this week may it be different than other weeks. You know, one of the hazards of retirement is you fall into a rut. You know, you have all this time and you wonder, what are you going to do with it? We don't have all that time. It's not like that. That's crazy stuff. But we pray, Lord, please use us. May this be different than last week, than last month, than last year. We don't want to be the same as we were. I got done praying that, and it wasn't 5 minutes afterwards the telephone rang. Hi, are your grandchildren down there? We need somebody to help pick corn. No, our grandchildren are on vacation. But Bev and I will come up and help you pick corn. I haven't picked corn since I was a young teenager. We had such a wonderful time picking corn this week. It was great. We were able to witness to this man. He couldn't believe that we were willing to come up and pick corn. We're senior citizens. We're old people. We got gray hair. Our teeth are starting to fall out. You don't go out and pick corn with these young studs that go out there and you know, they can outwork you 10-1. But we had a determination that we want to do something for Jesus Christ, that when He calls, I'm going to respond. And I volunteered my wife because I know her mind and her heart. I do. There was no hesitation, was there, baby? None. You know something? We learned something that week. I don't know if we're going to do it next week or not. Our grandchildren will be back from vacation. Maybe we'll have the grandchildren do it. But we learn if you make yourself available, if you have the willingness to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever you want me to do, I don't care if it's glamorous. I don't care if there's glitz and bright lights and the TV cameras are rolling. I don't care if I'm sitting there with 20,000 other people in a stadium somewhere. Lord, if it's something I can do for you, will I be willing to do it? And we all have to answer that question, don't we? Sure we do. I have to. And that's an ongoing thing. Next week it may be something else. We're trying to listen. We're trying to respond in a positive way. But in reality, we've come up so far short. We really do. Matthew 15:8 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Sometimes our heart is right on beam. The telephone calls, you respond. But other times when we know we should do that little extra, we don't do it. And that's what doormat Christianity is, doing the extra. Not only doing your duty, but going way beyond that and doing what is not your duty to do. The extra stuff. It's the attitude of the heart that makes the difference. If my heart is right with Christ, the decision to say or to do something will be so much easier. And in some cases, it'll be automatic. Our granddaughter Kayla comes on the road with us once in a while. She sings. She's only 10 years old. She started singing when she was probably 8. We'd bring her along with us and she'd get up front and sing. Kayla's heart is right with the Lord. We missed her this week. We didn't miss her teenage brother too much, but we missed her. She's 10 now. Not too long ago, our son and our daughter-in-law and their two boys were coming up to visit. We told Kayla, "Uncle Bob and Aunt Annette are coming today." Oh, she got so excited. "You're going to see Caleb and you're going to see Matthew." Oh, she got so fired up. "So they're going to come probably after supper." So we know when Bob means after supper, that usually means about 7 o'clock at night. So Caleb began asking about probably about 3:30 in the afternoon. "When are Uncle Bob and Aunt Annette coming? When are they coming? I've been waiting for..." "Honey, it's only 3:30. You got to wait till at least 5 o'clock anyway. 4 o'clock. When are they coming? 4:30. 5 o'clock. 5:30. 6 o'clock. Where are Uncle Bob and Aunt Annette and Caleb and Matthew? I've been waiting for such a long time." You know what she did? She actually, when Uncle Bob and Aunt Annette didn't come at 5 o'clock and they didn't come at 6 o'clock, she went out in the driveway by our house. Their car's coming by. She's only like 20 feet away from the road. Bev was peeking out the window. Such a touching story. She didn't care who was coming by, who was jogging by, who was riding by in a car. She got down on her knees in front of all these people that were coming by. Bev could see she had her hands folded like this. She was praying. She could almost read her lips. "Oh, Lord, where are they? Please bring them safely here." She got up. 15 minutes later, they drove in the yard. Kayla ran around a corner. "Uncle Bob and Aunt Annette are here." She ran in the house. "God answered my prayer, Mimi. They're here." Man, oh man. The scripture says, "And a little child shall lead them." Wow. You learn something from kids? Boy, I'll tell you. We learned a valuable lesson that day. To incorporate it into our lives, to use it as something special. Doing the almost small, insignificant things like praying in a driveway to gain the heart of God, because as a little child, you want to follow God. You've made a decision to do that. That's why it's so important for these little children, these kids. Bev and I come in here, we see all these kids. Man, that is great. Showing them the right way to go. One day they'll be kneeling out in the mission field somewhere, praying, oh Lord, may I reach these people for you. We have to ask ourselves some questions. What am I doing that puts me more in line with what Jesus Christ wants for me? What am I doing? What am I doing that puts me more in line with what Jesus Christ wants for me in my life, in my family? Are you doing your work with excellence? Do you have a reputation of being a person of integrity? Someone that other people can trust? Do the necessary everyday things take precedence over how Christ would have me deal with them? How are you when somebody cuts in front of you out on the road? How about doing the dishes? Changing diapers, oh, one of my least favorite jobs when our kids were small. All these things. What's my attitude? Is it Christ-like? Do we give Christ a thought during the day? Are we too busy? Too focused on earthly goals that rob precious time away from Christ? Lord, what am I learning? What am I supposed to be teaching my children? Do they see a Christ-like reaction from me in adversity, or do they see something else? We all have to answer those questions. Does my family see a soft answer that turns away wrath? Or do they hear grievous words that stir up anger? It's up to you and me. Bev narrated this true story to me, and she gave me permission to use that this morning. So you're going to have to listen up really close. Are you listening closely? Raise your hand if you're listening closely. Good, you're all listening. Listen to this story. This is Doormat Christianity. 624, this is the advanced part. When we lived in an apartment building in Adams, we lived on the second floor, but ground level in the backyard. Some of you came and visited us. Family, husband and wife, two little girls moved in above us on the opposite side. When we saw and heard what we did, we knew this was probably not going to be a good situation. Their moving in left something to be desired. Stuff falling out of boxes, armloads of clothes thrown here and there. Once they moved in their apartment, there was a lot of swearing, banging, loud arguing. Some of you live in an apartment, you know how that is. It's not always pleasant. Usually when their two little girls, ages 5 and 2, came downstairs to play in the backyard, they would lose mittens, shoes, coats, sweaters. Even in the dead of winter, the kids would come out half-dressed. A lot of stress watching these children. Bev said, if I didn't say something, the Lord wouldn't be pleased with me. She knew she had to say something. Rubbish bags piled high in their top porch were ripped open by roaming dogs, and the trash slid down their stairs to our back door. This went on every day for as long as they lived there, probably a couple of years or longer, as we can recall. This was 30 plus years ago. Bev's first thoughts were either I go and pick it all up daily, including the lost clothing, and returning it upstairs, or waiting for them to do it. The thought being, if I do it, they're shirking their responsibilities. How are they going to learn to clean their own mess? Their mess. You clean it, was her attitude. What would you do? Then comes the conviction. Number one, Bev said, if I leave it there, it's going to stay and make us look like bums. Number two, if I pick it up, they'll let me just keep on doing it. They couldn't care less. And you know something? They couldn't care less. Bev kept getting more and more angry. I'm sure I prayed about it, she says, but I didn't get an instant answer. As we, Bev and I, prayed and read Scripture and did memory verses like Romans 12, 20 and 21. Romans 12, 20 and 21. Commit that to memory if you can. And then Proverbs 25, 21 and 22, I believe, go along with it. Remember those verses. As we prayed and read Scripture and did memory verses like Romans 12, 20 and 21 and read my utmost for His highest, I knew God wanted me to pick up the stuff, the mess. Satan would counter with, you know, they'll let you do it every time. This is never going to end. You're going to be doing this for the rest of your life. Bev said, the tenants didn't understand, but I knew ultimately what God would have me do. Bottom line, I was able to share the gospel with a mom. Isn't that amazing? People that couldn't care less about how they looked or how they maintained themselves. What would you do in a situation like that? You know, you know what these people were doing? They were taking their dirty shoes and just rubbing them all over. They were coming down and saying, hey, if that were your face there, I'd rub my feet right in your face because here's my garbage. You can have it all. What would you do? What would you do? How about you? What would you do? Oswald Chambers says this. Once we realize that Jesus has served us even to the depths of our meagerness, our selfishness, and our sin, nothing we encounter from others will be able to exhaust our determination to serve others for His sake. Some of you are probably just starting out in ministry. Maybe you've bombed out somewhere along the line. I was an elder here. I don't know how long I lasted, Bryce. 2 years? A year? I bombed out. But you know something? God takes the trashy things that happen in our lives and He uses them for His purposes. And I can stand up here today and in the other places we go and tell you, Jesus Christ wants to use you. If you feel that your ministry is waning or going down, take heart. Don't lose hope. God has a special plan for that ministry. Jesus Christ is seeking doormats. Is that you? Is that me? I'm learning. I don't have it down pat. Paul said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowing, of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get there. Man, I struggle just like you do. People throw garbage in your face. What are you going to do? Let me read these two things and with that we'll close. This is untitled. Greatest of All, I guess. There's some copies on the back table of this one if you'd like it. The greatest loss, to lose my soul. My greatest gain, Christ as my Savior. My greatest object, to glorify God. My greatest work, to win souls for Jesus. My greatest joy, the joy of God's salvation. My greatest inheritance, heaven and its glories. My greatest neglect, the neglect of so great a salvation. My greatest crime, to reject Christ, the only Savior. My greatest profit, to live godly in this present evil world. My greatest rest, the peace that passes understanding. My greatest knowledge, to know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. Boy, is that something to shoot for? Boy, that's Christianity doormat 624. And this one here, this is great. What am I good for? You may be here this morning, maybe you're not even a Christian. I can tell you, if you come here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're missing out on the best that life has to offer. I don't care how many awards you've gotten, how great you are in the eyes of other people. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're missing out. Before you leave today, talk to someone. We have elders here. We have people that will talk to you about your salvation. Let me read this, and with this we'll close. This is for those that say, I don't have any talent. I don't even know what doormat 624 is. I'm not even close. Listen to this. What am I good for? Nothing, sighed the rose. My thorns prick people, and they use thorns to make crown for my Creator's head. The butterfly decided that I'm good for absolutely nothing. All I can do is flutter around and show off my beautiful colors. Look at me, buzzed the bee. I have nothing to be thankful for. I have a stinger for protection, and people are scared of me every time I come around. Wake up! Wake up! Why are we all comparing ourselves with one another? We are all created uniquely with a special purpose, though it may not look like it at times. Roses speak volumes and give off a wonderful scent for others to savor. And you, Mr. Butterfly, your bright colors are used to bring cheer to so many hearts. Wherever you flutter, whether you're going from flower to flower or part of a picture. And never fear, dear bees, you are important too. The honey you give the world lasts longer and is sweeter than your sting. That was written by Rosine Hoover. Say, so, yeah, that sounds pretty good. That one thing about Rosine, though, let me read the rest of the story. This was written by a 36-year-old cerebral palsy girl on a computer, since she can't write by hand and her eyesight is limited. Not bad, huh? She has been touched of God and is touching others by her testimony. So you think you have no talent, nothing worth using for the Lord Jesus Christ? Take what you have. And even if it involves washing feet, maybe that's what God wants you to do. I don't know what He wants you to do. But I know one thing. He has a plan particularly just for you that's absolutely unique. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the great grace that You give us, shown in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did what He did because He loved us that much. His great grace, so amazing. Thank You, Lord, for this morning. We trust that by Your word, by Your spirit, that You've touched hearts. You've touched mine. I know that. Thank You for the wonderful goodness that You extend through to each one of us, even though we're so undeserving. We praise and bless Your great name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.